The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
Practical, real, solid advice from men with a lot of experience. And that's the other division which the usual suspects have worked very hard to inject, not just so much into our people as a whole, but into the movement, the nationalist, the patriotic movement in particular. And that is not a class war, not a race war, not a religious war, not a sex war, but an age war with, okay, boomer, anyone over the age of 45 is useless, sellout, responsible for all the evils in the world and has nothing to teach someone of 18. And the 17, 18-year-olds come along, and if they're sucked into that, as the kids, the fools who gone into national action were, when Brother Jim and myself told them repeatedly, face-to-face, you are on a low road which will lead you to prison, to the destruction of your life, and to death. And oh no, they knew better, because we're just silly old boomers, silly old farts. They're going to show us, well, they showed us all right. Within 3 years, there's dozens of them in prison. Where it goes. See, yeah, getting a bit old, a bit grey, yeah, not getting thin, unlike some, but been around, got lots of experience, learned lots of things by making lots of mistakes. There's no need for the youngsters to make the mistakes. Come and ask us, and we'll guide you past them.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to HCH. I'm Andy, your host. Today is Sunday, so it's time for the Limeys for a show entitled The OK Boomer Divide and Conquer Operation with my co-host Malefica Scott. So let's bring him up right now. Malefica, are you with us?
I am, mate. I am back. We've had a beautiful little sort of sunny weekend down here in Cornwall. The weather's been absolutely stunning, but cold, Andy. Very cold. But yeah, it's nice to be back anyway.
Yeah, I've had some sun and then it'd be really cold as well. I noticed that too. And it sort of changes throughout the day. And so sometimes you go out. I remember going out the other day and I thought, I'll wear my T-shirt and my Harris tweed jacket, and I realized after not being out for very long that I would have been better off wearing my roll neck jumper rather than the t-shirt, but I was out by then, so it was a bit late. But anyway, that clip you just heard during the show intro segment was taken from Nick Griffin's show entitled Andrew Tate's Dirty Secret from last Tuesday, April the 16th, that you can find on purged.tv, purged.tv. Andrew Tate's Dirty Secret last Tuesday, April the 16th, which was actually my favourite show of last week, as I mentioned on yesterday's I'm Talking to You show. And with regard to today's show title and show image, the OK Boomer Divide and Conquer Operation, this of course relates to what Nick Griffin said in the show intro segment, and is far better than the title I had in mind earlier in the week. Why was the alleged assassin of Robert F. Kennedy knighted twice? That is embarrassingly corny. So I thank Nick for doing what he did on last Tuesday's show, which not only gave us a show intro clip, but also gave us a pretty decent title well worth discussing. So, Malefica, what are your thoughts on what Nick Griffin had to say? Over to you.
Well, you know, this whole boomer thing, you know, life after the war Yeah, my dad would fall in the boomer bracket. He was born, you know, in the, I suppose, well, he grew up in the 60s. That was when he spent, you know, he was in his 20s during the 60s. And, I have to say that generation of folks, there was, I listened to an interesting broadcast or podcast by Mark Devlin. Now, anyone that's not familiar with the name Mark Devlin, he's a UK-based club and radio DJ, or at least was, and he's now a music journalist, and he goes around giving talks, very interesting talks actually, about the links between the music industry, the British music industry, and the military and things like that. So basically, if any of the listeners out there have read Dave McGowan's book, Weird Scenes Inside Laurel Canyon, then it's basically the British equivalent of that. And it talks about the Tavistock Institute and all that kind of thing. And, you know, the Beatles being a manufactured band, in order to sway public opinion and all that kind of thing. And what he was saying about the boomer generation is that essentially there was a magazine started up in the States. Now, I think it was Gloria Steinem, but I can't remember exactly, so don't quote me on that. But she started up, there was a magazine started up called Ms. Magazine, which was all about, it wasn't about, it was about not calling yourself Mrs. so that people didn't know whether you were married or not. So the Ms. Magazine sort of pushed the ideals that women could do just as well as men in the workplace and take on just the same jobs and blah, 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 blah. And it was it empowered, quote unquote, women to join the workplace and leave their traditional role as a mother, a nurturing mother at home, with the added bonus, of course, that then the other half of the population were then eligible to pay tax to the powers that should not be. But also it destroyed the nuclear family, that whole ideal. So the 60s, I believe, really were a huge time for social change all over the world, not just in the UK and not just in America, but the UK and America pioneered, I would say, those social changes that were made. And they used the boomer generation. Now, what was the little phrase you came up with just before the show, Andy? Because I think that encapsulated it perfectly.
Yes, I was. Well, firstly, I just feel that the boomer generation, I've forgotten it now. It was basically, I think that they were softened up to get them to acquiesce to essentially other things. And what I mean by that, I mean, I grew up and my dad was an advertising salesman originally, and ended up going to Macmillan Publishers, finally became the advertising manager. So it sounds like, you know, this is a real top job. I suppose it was quite a good job. I think my mother wasn't really working, but we had a car for my mother in the driveway. My dad had a company car. We lived in a little detached house in Epsom Downs. I mean, there's a lot of factors in it as well, because, of course, there were less people. The property market wasn't, you know, as heavy as it is now. But it was normal. You know, people, you know, there was a guy opposite, he had a bungalow, he was a mechanic. And you sort of think, well, you know, you'd associate mechanics maybe not being able to get the sort of money these days to buy a bungalow. You know, different things like that. And I think that all this was done at, their generation. So let's take my mother first. Her actual father didn't own a pair of shoes until he was 14. I think I mentioned that before. They were in a big family, and there was only a certain amount of chairs, so only the people that worked in the family could sit down to have their meal. The rest had to stand up. I think he was one of 9 or 11 children. Never met any of his brothers or sisters. He kind of moved away from the family, and they were up in Bolton, where he came from. So it makes me wonder how many relations I've got listening. Sorry, up there. Never mind, some of them might be listening even, because, you know. But so you go from that to my mother taking him to Disneyland for my grandmother's 80th birthday, you know, paying for the whole holiday and everything. They weren't even able to, you know, they'd never really been on a plane, stuff like that. And I think then what they're doing now is they use that to get in all these things that are completely anti-Christian and anti-moral and things like that. We don't need to get into them, you know what we're talking about. So now they've got what they wanted, and now they want to go back to this feudal system we talked about before, where only the elites can fly, only the elites can eat meat. Because I think during this time, a lot of them have been absolutely apoplectic with rage at the idea that the likes of my parents can go on cruises regularly. Things like that. And that's why I think all this stuff is going to stop under the guise of fossil fuels. Because all it is that they get off not just on all the luxuries they have, but the fact that only they are allowed to have them. Back to you, Maleficus.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's where all this is headed. You know, one of the things that you know, Mark Devlin touches on in that little talk is just how much social change occurred in the 60s. But it paved the way for everything that's occurring now. And you know, bands like the Beatles and the Pink Floyd, et cetera, et cetera. After a little while of getting people on board, changed their musical styles and their, you know, to reflect the direction that the powers that should not be wanted to take society. So yeah, it's all happening. It's all happening. It's drip fed, but it's all gradualism, but it is occurring slowly. I mean, one of the implements, without sort of jumping the gun, one of the things that I've been up to this week, Andy, is, and this is all incremental social change, my village, I walk in the dog through my village, and I noticed there were some laminates put up on various lampposts, and this normally happens when there's planning permission being sought in the area for one thing or another. What they're intending on doing in my village is turning it into a 20 mile an hour zone. Yes, that's right, folks, the 20 mile an hour zone that they want inside all 15 minute cities, etc, etc. Now, excuse me if I'm jumping the gun, Andy, but you know, this whole thing about putting a 20 mile an hour zone through my village. My village, a lot of the housing there doesn't have its own parking, so they park out on the road. So there is already a mass of congestion in the village anyway. But if you've got to wait for someone who's only allowed to do 20 miles an hour to get past that next section of traffic before you can pull out, you know, that next section of parked cars before you can pull out, it's going to cause even more problems. And does 20 mile an hour driving at 20 mile an hour improve air quality? No. In fact, the 20 mile an hour zones in London show that they've got no negative impact on exhaust emissions. So it doesn't change anything. What's really irritated me more than anything is how dumb people can be. I've heard a lot recently in the last couple of days that there's a lot of people on local social media. I'm not on that myself, but I know that there are a lot of people on local social media welcoming the 20 mile an hour change because someone down the road had their cat run over a couple of days ago. And do you know what? That is exactly the sort of emotional knee-jerk response I would expect from the idiocracy that we're living amongst, Andy. You know, at the end of the day, the main arterial road that travels through Cornwall goes past our village. And when there's an accident, and it is an accident black spot, that particular section of the A30, when there's an accident, what do? They reroute the arterial traffic through the village. I mean, it's just for anyone short-sighted enough to say that, well, 20 mile an hour it make everything a lot safer. They don't realise how much congestion this is going to cause. But again, it's, as I say, it's dealing with the idiocracy and the emotional responses. That's largely, I think the listening audience will agree, largely most of society now is governed simply by a thumbs up or a thumbs down, an emotional response. That's the whole point in the thumbs up on Facebook. You know, you've got an instant emotional response that people can relate to. And the fact that, you know, Aunt Gertrude's cat got run over a couple of days ago means, yeah, we ought to change the rules of the road just so that no cats get run over. We haven't had any pedestrians hit in this village in living memory. So, sorry to digress. That's also what I've been up to this week, Andy.
Well, I on the way to my mother's home, there's a 20-mile-an-hour stretch, which doesn't make any sense because it's on this sort of long road and it's 30, and then you've got a little bit at 20, but it's not like there's a school on that stretch or anything. It's just there. And part of it is down a steep hill, and it's very difficult to keep it under 20 or like riding the brake, you know? But
it's a very inefficient speed for a car to travel. In fact, I would argue that it creates more emissions than it saves.
And the other
what's
thing,
the point in having gears on a car if, you know, if an engine can run at a certain speed but you can get more speed out of it, then obviously it's running more efficiently. You can get more speed out of the vehicle while running the engine at a set speed because of gears. That's why cars have gears. Then obviously it makes sense that, you know, traveling at 20 miles an hour, having to keep your car in second gear, has got to be one of the most inefficient ways of running a car. So that also uses more fuel. You know, it's just so short-sighted of people. It really is. But, you know, save the kittens.
Yeah, well, that principle of someone wanting it changed because their cat got run over is the same as, you know, being in the lockdown and someone notices their neighbour having someone over that they shouldn't, and they report them because, you know, why should they do it? Do you know what I mean? Rather than think,
absolutely,
well, actually, we shouldn't, none of us should be doing this, and, you know, we shouldn't, we're actually going along with it. Just we're doing it out of anger that we wouldn't do that because we're more scared than they are. But rather than keeping the anger directed at the people who locked us down, to start, oh, well, we'll blow off a bit of steam by reporting the neighbour.
Well, exactly. And it's an emotional knee-jerk response. And not forgetting, Andy, in the protocols, in our plan, one-third of the population will look out, look over the other two-thirds of the population out of a sense of duty to the state.
Yeah. And back to the, just to wrap up the 20-mile-an-hour thing, you might be aware that I saw this, it only came out yesterday, I believe, BBC News, 20 mile per hour Wales, some roads to revert to 30 mile per hour after backlash. And the Transport Secretary, Ken Skates over there, says we've put our hands up to say the guidance has to be corrected. He highlighted the almost 500,000 signatures to a Senate petition opposing the 20 mile per hour policy. He said he has friends and family who signed the petition. But the interesting thing as well is the council leader of Swansea, a big town in Wales, I think Swansea, probably a city, Swansea and Cardiff are probably the biggest.
Swansea and Cardiff are the two biggest places, yeah.
Yeah, well, the council leader there, Rob Stewart, welcomed the change, but get this, he said the government must help foot the bill to swap the signage back. So it just goes to show how ill thought out this was. But again, I think that this is all designed to put people off driving. Like they were talking about that People's Voice show last week that I mentioned, said that all these problems with flights and it is designed to get people to voluntarily stop flying. Because in the end, there's going to be some people, like with the lockdowns, I think that this is something psychological. They probably already knew, but they could fine-tune it with the lockdowns, that there are some people that whatever you do to make it difficult, they're still going to go their merry way. And so they're trying to see how many they can put off driving with a 20-mile-per-hour zone. They're trying to see how many they can put off flying with all these problems at airports like we have every summer in the UK. But then we've got the situation at Boeing where all these bits keep falling off planes and whistleblowers who actually say they'll never kill themselves are found to have killed themselves and all this sort of stuff. So I think that that's where we're going. And it all goes back to this feudal system they want to get us in. They want most of us to acquiesce to it. That's the word of the day today, acquiesce. Most of us to do that. And then the little stragglers that won't, that's who these new big prisons are being built for in this country, and the FEMA camps, etc., in America that have already been put together so long ago that they probably had this plan so long ago, which is why they're really mad about not having it in place already. But well, anything again, else before we move
on? It's not about your health, it's about control. That's what it's always been about. They don't care about your health and your well-being. It's about control. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah, my personal opinion is they do care about your health in the sense of making you unhealthy, which is why they put this so-called sugar tax on, which makes people drink the aspartame instead, which they know is very bad for you. So that was the main reason for
that. And have admitted. They've admitted in the mainstream media that it's bad for you. Are they going to stop putting it in? No.
No, of course, because and this is the whole. This is why we are where we are. This is why you don't have. There was a guy in a town called Sutton, where my grandparents lived, and I've lived before as well. And he'd been there for years, and he made his own ice cream. And there was no ice cream like it. I've never tasted it before or since. Really special. He was an old guy when I knew him. He'd been there for years. When he died, the place died. Okay? I'm sure that everyone listening around the world has got a story like that of something local, if there are sort of age, that goes back to that. Well, corporatism and all this gets rid of that. Unless this guy's recipe was basically bought by a big multinational company. And then they take it, and then they'd find out what they can do to it to retain the flavour, to sell it on the basis of the flavour, but also to put in what the controllers want to put in to cause problems for the consumers. I used to like Ride, well, I haven't had it for years and years and years, and I wish I had, because when they brought the sugar tax in on that, rather than keep the sugar in Ribena, they've actually changed it to an aspartame type of formula. So I won't go near it now, not the ready-to-drink one or the cordial. And it's a shame, because you don't have an option, at least with... And the other thing that they do, I don't know if you're aware of this, Maleficus, but PepsiCo owns a lot of fast food restaurants, like they own KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Now, only in the last 2-3 years, maybe. Bear in mind, Pepsi own it, but you can't get regular Pepsi in it. So if you go to McDonald's or you go to Burger King, they use Coca-Cola, and you can get Coca-Cola there. You have to pay an extra 15, 20, 30p or something like that on your meal. But Pepsi, you can't get in KFC, even though Pepsi own it. You can only get Diet Pepsi or Pepsi Max.
Yeah.
So whenever I go in, that's just ridiculous now. It gets silly. I think that they're being told to do this as well. And we'll get into that later on, because I've got something that we can get into off the back of that. But let's move over to today's traditional Christian message. That I only actually put up quite late today, because I generally put it up as soon as I get up, but I've got a lot on my mind and I forgot until less than an hour ago as I speak now. But it is called Judas the Apostle Who Became an Apostate. Slightly longer this week, a 17-minute show written by Dr. Peter Hammond that I put up earlier today on achshow.com, you know that, otherwise you wouldn't be listening to this. So please check that out. So, Maleficus, what have you been up to?
Well, as I say, moaning an awful lot about the 20-mile-an-hour speed limits. I do intend to go round and do, have a chat with the local community just to gauge the thoughts on it. But the very idea that we're going to make major changes to, or we're going to change driving policy through the village on the basis of an emotional response because of somebody's cat is Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if there's an agent provocateur in the local community who've gone, right, we'll get people on board with this. You know, I wonder if they're a member of the local council, the people who know the other person's cat's been run over or whatever. You know, I swear there is an ulterior motive behind that little emotional piece of leverage that's been put in the local community. But I will be going round and seeing what the general consensus is and encouraging people to write against it, because the village is already congested. We have to wait for ages. You know, you've got one side of the village, there's no parking on the houses, so people are allowed to park on the road, which means you can only get one car through at a time in certain places through the village. That is a self-imposed speed restriction. As I say, we haven't had any fatalities in this village due to dangerous driving. Even people that are driving over the 30-mile-an-hour speed limit, we haven't had any fatalities in this village, other than the odd cat. And I'm not being funny. You reduce it to 20 miles an hour, you're still going to get dumb cats that think that they can chance it in front of a car. So, yeah, that's my thing this week, Andy. Other than, as I say, spending a bit of time in the studio, my friend who is a drummer, Al, has been round and left his electric drum kit there as well. So might be having a little play with that later this afternoon. Let's see what happens.
Excellent, Malificus. Well, after my rant against workmen in my apartment last week, guess what? I had a couple of them in all day yesterday. This was sort of planned. Basically, I don't know if I mentioned it on the show or not, but well, you all know I've got this big CD collection still at my mum's. I've got really nowhere to put it here. I looked at even renting sort of storage places and stuff. You pay so much a month, and I don't really want that. I really want all my stuff where I can access it. And you know, why should I be paying rent to a little place a month when I live somewhere? Let's see what I can do. So they've got the whole unit up, which is good. And what I'm going to do, because the guy is coming back in an hour and 19 minutes, or an hour and 21 minutes rather, working that out the wrong way round. But this is where they are, Maleficus. They need to paint it. So I'm going to put some undercoats on today, wait for it to dry, and then hopefully get a top coat on. Whether they get that done today,
I have to wait. Yeah, that looks amazing.
Yeah.
They've done a good job, haven't they?
Well, yeah, it's very reasonable too, because it's a guy that's done work for me before, and I think if you went to a company these days, they would be charging you, you know, probably well over $1,000 for that, but I paid a fraction of that. So, basically what it is that I've got where my bed is in the bedroom against the wall, then I've got a couple of bedside cabinets next to that, and then all the wall above that and to the side of that was just clear. So we've got shelves going from just above the bed and then all the way to the ceiling and then all the way down to the floor after the bedside cabinet. So I've already tested certain things on it. So there's a couple of shelves, because they're different heights and different sizes. I want to put the heavy stuff down the bottom, even though they've said, look, this is really solid stuff and it feels really solid. That, you know, you can really stack heavy stuff up high and it's not going to cause a problem. I still get a little bit nervous. So I found that I can put my heavy folders down in lower shelves, already tested that. And records I can get in as well. So that's ideal. Great. So I can actually get the 12-inch records out of a ottoman, which isn't the ideal place to put records. You want to be able to look at them now and then, I suppose. And get them out of there and on this shelving unit. So I'm pretty sure, looking at it, that that's going to give me ample space. So I'll probably have some left over for anything else that I need to put in there. So that's good. So I'm pleased with that. And I'm just looking forward to them finishing it off so I can move this stuff over, because, of course, I'm not going to move it over until it's finished. But, there you go. What was the other thing I was going to mention? It meant that I couldn't see Amanda yesterday, because we generally meet up, go out in the morning, have something to eat, come back here, and then she will watch something, and invariably she'll fall asleep while she's watching it in my bed. And of course I couldn't go in the bedroom you know, that day. I was, what I was doing here, that's reminded me. Oh, it was a trying day. I've got this Saint box set, Roger Moore, and there were two of them, and they're both deleted now. So a lot of these DVD box sets that you get, or even, not even box sets necessarily, you look at some of these things that you get, you might have on your side, and you look them up, and a lot of them aren't being made anymore because people are going for streaming, and they can cost a fortune. If you didn't get them first time round, it's silly money to get certain things. And the Saint black and white box set, I've got that in the colour. It's not even listed, the one that I've got on Amazon. There's an inferior one listed for well over £100, I believe. But anyway, that gets a bit boring after watching it over and over again. So I started doing that yesterday in the lounge where I've got a telly I don't really use, but I started looking at that with half an eye yesterday while I was spending time building up some traditional Christian messages that I broadcast every Sunday, because I had not even one ready for next week. And Peter is travelling, so I don't expect him to be putting some together. So I found some good ones on his Frontline Fellowship site. The trouble is, when you copy them, I have to check how long they are, because I can't have things that are really long. I want to get them in, you know, sort of 20-minute maximum, really, because when you're reading off a screen all that time, it can get a bit difficult. But it's a case of finding the one, right, this is about, can't be more than, say, 6-7 pages, Word, and then see that, and then, right, okay, you paste it, and then you've got to go all the way through reformatting bits and stuff like that. It's just the way I have to do it, you know. I won't bore you with the intricacies, but it's not as smooth. And so I've got stuff all the way till mid-September now. So I've got a hell of a lot of shows there. But they're already there, so I just need to go to the next one on the list. So it was a day that I didn't really enjoy, but I had to occupy myself with something more than just sitting watching The Saint, because I'm getting bored of it. So that was how I kind of got through yesterday, and I'm just pleased that the bulk of the work is done. And nobody likes people in their flat. So this guy's coming back later. And the other thing I'm doing, so this isn't what I've been up to, but it's what I'm going to be up to in about, a few hours' time. The last time I had a drink in a pub, I've worked out, was about 5 years ago. So I went to a pub less than 2 weeks ago, but that was to have food, and I never have alcohol with food. So, and that's with my close friend Steve, the minicab driver I bring up here. And I last met him, I think, 2 or 3 years ago in another pub, but that was when I was at my mum's, and I was staying over, so I didn't drink. So I just had soft drinks, and, you know, there you go. So we'll see how that goes, but I haven't seen him in all that time. And I was just thinking about it, because when I was younger, I was out every Friday and Saturday night, you know, and a lot of times during the week as well. And to think that I've got to a stage where I haven't actually had an alcoholic drink anywhere apart from my flat for like 5 years is really quite something. But any thoughts on that, Maleficus? Because you still go out and about.
I still go out and about. I don't often go to pubs for drinks, though. We will every so often, like, have an afternoon cider. If it's nice and sunny, we'll have an afternoon cider at a pub or something like that. But no, taxation has killed the local pub, Andy, and I'm sure your wallet is going to be a lot lighter by the time you finish. Even if you only stop out for a couple of drinks, your wallet's going to be a lot lighter by the time you finish.
I am only staying for a couple of hours. I said to the guy, look, because I was going to stay later, but you see, originally these people are going to finish doing the whole thing yesterday, and I thought, you're not going to get this all done today, you know, because you've got, and, you know, they're a bit over-ambitious with that. But, yeah, so now they're coming back, or one of them is, because they only want them to do the painting, and I'd have to say, look, I've got to be back here for a certain time, but I can meet you a bit earlier, hence why we're going to wrap this one up hopefully a bit earlier than we usually do. But, we will see. So I'll probably see. As I'm going out, I'm not just going to say, well, let's just stay in the Wetherspoons. If I have to pay £5 for a pint, then I'm going to have to pay £5 for a pint. If I'm, you know, it's going to be another 5 years before I pop out again if we're all still here then. But, you know, I'm sure I can do that. But, yeah, we'll see where we end up and see what the weather's doing and that as well. It's a bit overcast at the moment, but I like ideally to find somewhere to sit outside because I smoke, but at the same time I don't want my friend to freeze for my vice. But we'll see how we get on and let you know if it was anything interesting to report next week. But let's have a look at the People's Voice shows in the last week, which you can find at their Rumble channel. And the reason I go through these, you've got to be so careful. We don't really touch on the independent media too much on this show because a lot of things are put out there for us to talk about and then they can say it's some sort of hate, right? We've seen how these ops work. The People's Voice is an interesting channel. It's on Rumble. It's got 65.9k followers, it says here. And I just go through the headlines for the last week, so it's easily accessible. So one day ago, docs reveal Israel-Iran conflict plan 100 years ago to spark World War III. That, of course, talks about the Albert Pike letter and stuff like that. I, for one, don't believe any nation is not controlled by this one group, and I believe it is all theatre. And when you look at these so-called strikes on each other's country that both sides claim have done, you know, no real damage, it looks to me like it is theatre. In the same way the Russia-Ukraine conflict. That's obviously different because lots of people are being killed, but there's speculation that we can't really get into as to why these people might be being killed and who they might be being killed to make way for. But let's move on to the next show. Pfizer admits mRNA jabs contain nanobots that permanently alters DNA. Well, that's them supposedly admitting it. And of course, we've had many people in the independent media accusing them of that and having all sorts of docs and cancellations and all that sort of imposed on them, cancel culture. This is what I found very interesting that I wanted to pause on. From 6 days ago, Justin Trudeau facing life behind bars on child rape charges. Now, they've got what looks like a Justin Trudeau Twitter account with "when I raped those kids" circled in red. So I'm not sure if this is some deep fake or whatever it is. But going back to the idea that the governments will just push all this unhealthy stuff on you, I always look back to the Illuminati 1776 plan to control people by money and sex blackmail. And even Napoleon said that a man is more easily controlled by his vices than his virtues. And if you've got people that have been put in real positions of power that have done really horrible things, and I'm not saying Justin Trudeau's done that because I don't know, but based upon the claim of the People's Voice in this headline at least, one could now see why the leader of a country would authorise the seizing of bank accounts for truckers that are protesting, things like that, that really did shock us at the time. I mean, we do have short memories, but it's like, they'd actually do that. And then they were finding people who'd supported the truckers and seizing their accounts. I mean, this is such bad optics. Why are they doing it? Well, if they're basically being told, right, you do this, otherwise this is going to be the next headline you're going to read in the paper, that we've got proof that you're a paedophile or what have you, then your career's not just destroyed. You know, you could potentially spend the rest of your life in prison. So they'll do anything to avoid that happening. And that makes a lot more sense to me than what I see in the mainstream about the Israel and Iran attacking each other. And then we actually see no real damage on either side, although they claim different and all this sort of stuff. And then finally, I don't know if we touched on this last week or not, because it is 7 days ago. UK government to imprison citizens who eat meat under absolute zero rules. And they also talk about a restriction on clothing as well. All sorts of things in there. So this is the kind of independent place. There's a lot of shows that I listen to that I talk about on the Saturday I'm Talking To You show. So if you're interested in that to get some ideas of what to listen to, then please go and download that from yesterday. But on this show, I like to just focus on the people's voice, because these are all short videos. You can watch them as a video. The longest one here is 15 minutes. The shortest is 12 out of the four that I told you about. So you could get all of these done in an hour. And you can watch them or you can just listen to the audio. And I'm not saying what they say is correct because I don't know. But it's up there, it's out there, and it's there for you if you want to investigate for yourself. Mlyfkas, any comments before we move on? Over to you.
Just on the subject of shows, anyone that is used to listening to the Curno Connection on Speak Free Radio, we are in the process of moving currently at the moment. So there is no Curno Connection on Wednesday nights at the moment till further notice, till we have got the new website up and running. So just thought I'd add that in.
Yeah, excellent. No, thank you for that. And I look forward to seeing the end result of that, but that's a bit hush hush at the moment. It'll be interesting to see where it ends up and what else is there. Now for this week's The People Who Failed to Join Sven Longshanks in Prison and How They Did It segment of the show, which is brought to you courtesy of the British justice system. Sven Longshanks was sent to prison for 2.5 years on May the 15th, 2023, for comments he made on his radio show, the archives of which are still available on RadioAlbion.com, a station you could simply stop listening to if you chose to do so, in the same way I stopped listening to the BBC over a year ago when I chose not to renew my television license. So here are this week's People Who Failed to Join Sven Longshanks in Prison and How They Did It. First up, The Courier. Mum of two only just avoids jail for violent, unprovoked attack on stranger at Angus pub. Next, South Wales Argus. Uninsured driver who hit district judge avoids jail. Next, Northwich and Winsford Guardian. Northwich woman avoids jail despite being caught drug dealing. Next, Shropshire Star. Ex-military man avoids jail after stabbing during drunken brawl outside Shrewsbury pub. And finally, Brighton and Hove News. Homeless man spared jail for setting fire to beach patrol's hut. And I just throw in there, folks, that arson is a life sentence offence in this country. So that is very, very interesting. And whilst I could present many, many more headlines, that concludes this week's The People Who Failed to Join Sven Longshanks in Prison and How They Did It segment. But Mlyfkas, do you have any headlines for us before we close it up? Over to you.
I certainly do. Like I say, Andy, we could do a whole show on this each week. With a slight change in my search criteria this week, I've come up with quite a few. So the first one on my list was about the homeless man spared jail for setting fire to a beach patrol's hut. This apparently was done accidentally, so it wasn't arson, Andy. There you go.
Note, you see, just quickly to jump in. When I was a probationer as a police officer and I struggled at my first station and they subsequently moved me somewhere else, and one thing that they did, and I think that they probably, you know, you don't get told this stuff, but I think that the acting sergeant got reprimanded, was we brought someone in and he'd been basically harassing an ex-girlfriend. You know, she'd split up with him, but he couldn't accept it. It was that sort of thing. So, and then she made a complaint that he, I forget it all, really, the ins and outs of it. It was that sort of thing, though. So I was interviewing him, and then all this other stuff came out that we weren't being told about. And one of it was that she was living in a shared house with other people, and he pitched a tent up in their garden, right? And he was living in their garden. And then it came out that he tried to set fire to the house. And that wasn't something that we knew before. But what this acting sergeant had done is he thought, oh, we'll see if this guy can sink or swim, it's just a harassment case. But of course it was more than that. So when I had to go to the desk sergeant who's in charge of the station, so he's responsible for the welfare of all the prisoners and everything else going on there, so if someone happens to a prisoner while they're there, it's him that's liable because it's his prisoner, he's responsible for their welfare. He was fuming, probably the wrong word when we're talking about arson, but that I, a probationer, had been left there on my own with someone who basically admitted arson. He said this, I forget the word, but it was something like capital offence, something like that. But basically, it's one of only four. I think another one is murder, where it's life imprisonment. And the other thing with this individual is they were actually remanded in custody for that. So, you know, it shows how serious it is. Most of the people I arrested and interviewed, you know, they go out on bail. I think it was probably the only one that was remanded. But I think what happened was I was doing the interview in the evening, and then I went off, and then it was taken over by someone else because, of course, it was a more serious offence. But yeah, you know, I shouldn't have been put in that position. But it was just the attitudes of whatever. I think I made my point. But Maleficus, back to you. Sorry to interrupt.
That's right. No, all interesting stuff. All interesting stuff. So here you go. The Standard, Cheshire News. Witness woman sentenced for multiple headbutts and spitting in assaults. But she's been spared jail. So there's that one. Here we go. Daily Echo. Southampton man who beat up partner spared jail so he can sell his home. Another one here. Disgraced editor spared jail over indecent child images. Former Worcester Observer and Evesham Observer, Malvern Observer editor Rob George previously admitted three charges of making indecent photographs of pseudo-pornography of children. There you go. And he's been spared jail as well. This one's an amazing one. I've not heard of this sort of thing before. You heard of swatting before, Andy?
I have, yes. I think I know this one. Please go ahead.
Okay, yeah. So video gamer whose fake call to US police led to the shooting of an innocent man is spared jail. That's an interesting one. Anyone want to know what swatting is? Just drop me or Google it yourself, or just drop me an email, maleficusoutlook.com, and I'll send you the article. Never stumbled across that before. But anyway, he's been spared jail. Almost a dozen, this is the Westmoreland Gazette, Andy, almost a dozen repeat knife offenders in Cumbria spared jail last year. Now, the interesting thing about this particular article is if you simply put in the search criteria almost a dozen repeat knife offenders in, it comes up with news articles from all over the country, all over the UK here, and it's exactly the same article. It's exactly the same, in most cases, picture for the article. So almost a dozen repeat knife offenders in Cumbria spared jail. Almost a dozen repeat knife offenders in Bedfordshire spared jail. Almost a dozen repeat knife offenders in Gloucestershire spared jail. Repeat knife hurts offenders avoid jail in over half of cases. More than a dozen repeat knife offenders in Devon and Cornwall spared jail. So are they using one study to make a sweeping generalization over all the counties in the UK? All these articles are from 2 days ago or less. So that's an interesting one, isn't it? The same article being put out in all the different provinces. So moving on. Brothers spared jail for vicious Carlisle attack because prisons are full. I do know how they could free up one space, Andy. Train driver who took photos up sleeping woman's skirt is spared jail. Cannabis dealer who got cold feet is spared jail. Lostwithiel mum strangled vulnerable mother-in-law pulling oxygen tube from her nose. Her and her husband have been spared jail for the violent attack on their in-laws. That's actually Lostwithiel is my neck of the woods. That's Cornwall, Andy, so that's not far from me. So obviously I've already read out repeat knife offenders avoid jail in over half of cases. So that's obviously a study that they're using for, you know, but why they're using the specific number 12 in each county, I suppose it averages out that way. Don't know. Anyway, boozed up man who broke into Iran holiday home avoids jail. Pembrokeshire hostel manager narrowly avoids jail sentence for kicking a defenceless man as he lay drunk on the floor. Callous Scots cop spared jail after stealing iPad and phones from dead dad's home. The son of the dead, of the deceased man, managed to track the iPod and iPhones, because the tracking was on, to the policeman's house, can you believe? And finally, you'll like this one, Andy, this comes from Yahoo News. Extinction Rebellion co-founder spared jail over conspiracy to close Heathrow. Yes, this particular man thought it might be a good idea to fly drones near Heathrow in order to close the airport until the government reversed plans for a third runway there. What would happen to me and you, Andy, if we decided to try and shut down an international airport? Back to you. I had quite a few this week, but as I say, we could do a whole show on this. And Sven Longchamp is in jail simply for speaking.
Indeed. Yes, absolutely. Well, thanks for all that additional information. And did you mention, you see, the search criteria I use is I start off with avoids jail, and then I move to spared jail. But you've found other ways of doing things, and I just use Google browser to look at Google. Yeah, to look it up as a search engine. What do you do?
I'll either use Google or DuckDuckGo. I started off simply putting in avoids prison. And nowadays I've just changed the search criteria to spared jail or spared jail sentence. And you would not believe how, well, you would believe because you see it each week, but there are so many that come up each week. And it's revolving around violence, porn, pornography, you know, when I say pornography, very indecent pornography, not that there's a decent type. Dictionary definition, I believe, is causes sexual thought and has no artistic merit. As Bill Hicks said many years ago, sounds like just about every advert on TV, doesn't it? But, you know, there's so many articles every week of people avoiding prison for far more heinous crimes than have been committed simply than, you know, by Sven Longshanks simply speaking. So yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for that. And as of December 1st, 2022, we have a total of 2,362 people having died after taking the fake vaccine, and 474,018 people having been injured after taking the fake vaccine. These figures were published on the British government's website page entitled Coronavirus COVID-19 Vaccine Adverse Reactions, and were aggregated from the totals of the five vaccine analysis prints linked to on that page. I say were because the British government are no longer publishing these, as whilst their website page still exists, the five vaccine analysis prints have now been deleted from it, so I have absolutely no idea of the official figures today. And I actually went into it again yesterday, and it's still not been updated from, let me just open it again, last updated 8th of March 2023. So we're being led to believe that there's been no deaths or injuries from vaccinations in over a year. I think not. But now let's go over to Maleficus for his The Great Distraction segment of the show. Maleficus, what have you got for us today?
Okay, well, how about this one, Andy? Longest ever case of COVID lasted 613 days and turned into an ultra-mutated variant. Immunocompromised Dutch man, 72, battled the lasting illness that eventually killed him. So, and another article here from the Daily Record, longest COVID infection lasted nearly 2 years as scientists warn of mutations. Is this to say if anyone has it for a certain length of time, it might mutate? Did we not know this already? Or are they saying that people with long COVID are viral factories and should be maybe quarantined or gotten rid of? I don't know where they're going to go with that one. So watch this space, or answers on the back of a postcard. Up to you guys. So the UK Health Security Agency scientists issue urgent COVID warning as cases are on the rise once again. And no, folks, I haven't got my dates wrong this week. That comes from the 19th of April, 2024. So be afraid, be very afraid, rising cases of COVID. Also, according to The Guardian, the risk of bird flu spreading to humans is an enormous concern, says the WHO. You know, this whole bird flu thing that's been on and off for years and years. I remember the first case of bird flu, didn't they? Wasn't that over in America, and they you know, they rolled out a series of inoculations to combat this bird flu. When all these reactions, nasty reactions to the vaccine started rearing their ugly heads and people started to complain, the government not only pulled the vaccine, but pulled the scaremongering as well. I believe that was back in the 70s, Andy. Please, folks, correct me if I am wrong. So how about this one? Painful Victorian era condition on the rise amongst younger people, experts warn. Now, again, this is the Scottish branch of the Mirror Group, always focusing on this whole Victorian era nonsense. Is this to suggest, by the way, that maybe, you know, these, if people had kept up to date on their vaccinations and the jabs and this, that and the other, these Victorian era conditions wouldn't be surfacing? I don't believe so, because the one that they're talking about here is actually gout, which is basically far too much protein in your diet and your body not being able to get rid of it. So, yes, it is a painful thing, but, you know, gout has been around for a long time. And as far as I'm aware, there's no vaccination for gout. So why the scaremongering? Not sure. Anyone that is suffering from gout, by the way, lots of vitamin C. So here you go, Mirror Group. New 100-day cough warning as UK cases surge. Symptoms of particularly serious Victorian disease. And what's the 100-day cough? Whooping cough. Oh, yes. Be afraid, people. Be very afraid. And going back to bird flu, Daily Mail, H5N1 strain of bird flu is found in milk for the first time in very high concentrations, warns World Health Organization. Why were they testing milk for H5N1 strain of bird flu? The mind boggles, unless they thought they might find it there in the first place. So here we go. Another Mail Online article here. Government urged to roll out virus jab for babies or face a wave of sick infants this coming winter. NHS emergency departments will be filled with sick infants this winter unless the government sets out its plan to roll out a new jab for common bugs, experts have warned. Experts in inverted commas, folks. How about this one? This one struck me. Now, I've had 3 kids, and yes, all of them, straight after they were born, had the vitamin K injection because I was none the wiser. Now, there's an article here from the BBC News saying my son had a stroke when he was 12 minutes old. Now, I'm not suggesting it was necessarily due to the vitamin K or any injection that they, you know, I think kids have like a couple of injections literally as soon as they're out of the womb. So, you know, it does raise questions in my own mind as to how these strokes occur. 12 minutes old, getting a stroke. Yes. Well, anyway, there we go. So I'm going to finish on this one, Andy. And that's a Mail Online article saying smacking should be completely banned. Health chiefs demand the end of a loophole that allows parents to use quote-unquote reasonable punishment because there are no instances where smacking is acceptable. Now, I'm going to hand this over to you, Andy, but didn't the Bible say spare the rod, spoil the child?
Just typing that in, Maleficus, as you said it. it says here, it comes from Proverbs 13:24. Apparently, so people can look into that. Yeah, and again, we all need a form of discipline as we, you know, as we get older. As we're younger. We'd be speaking all day about this, but it's unfortunate. I don't think any parent enjoys having to discipline their children, physically or non-physically. You know, I think we all would like a nice, happy, and easy life, but if you I think that the proof is of the pudding is in the eating type of thing. You look at these entitled people today that essentially are kind of going along with the establishment by acquiescing again to the laws they pass regarding free speech, because they think that people, if they offend them, they think someone should go to jail for offending them. They really do. And it's because they've been taught this at school and stuff like that. So I've mentioned before that when you look at how the immigration system, a lot of these people that have come from very, very difficult environments and have been brought into Western countries, if suddenly the plug is pulled on a Western country, who's going to be more likely to survive? Someone who's spent a lot of their life in a war-torn country, having to, you know, struggle for food and all sorts of stuff, or someone who thinks it's normal to call the police because someone said something unkind to them on Twitter? Who do you think's more likely to survive? I think we all know the answer to that.
Not just that, Andy. I mean, as a parent, it's my responsibility that when I leave the planet, I don't leave three assholes on the planet for everyone else to have to cope with. You know? I'm sorry for the language, but that's your responsibility as a parent. It's my responsibility to make sure that my children are responsible and good-natured and strong people. I don't see the point. Don't get me wrong. I've very, very rarely had to raise my hand to my children, and it's only ever been when they were very little. It's only ever been something that me or you wouldn't even feel, and it's just some. It's a little shock to say, "Oh, I wasn't expecting that," and that's where discipline comes in. I've never smacked my child so hard that it's left a mark or anything like that. But, you know, a little short, sharp shock when they're a child, just to make them understand. Here's a prime example. You can't learn a lesson by being told it. I said this on the show before. I'll be very quick, Andy, because I know we're pushed for time. But we had one of these little lamps in the corner of our living room that you touch it and it comes on a bit. You touch it again, it comes on some more. You touch it again, it comes on really bright, and then you touch it again and it turns off. And my son was, before he could really even walk, was fascinated by this thing. And I explained to him, you can touch this bit, but don't touch this bit, pointing at the light bulb. And he was fascinated by it. And I watched him do it a few times. I said, right, I'm going to go make a cup of tea. Don't touch this bit. You can only touch this bit. Do you understand? Yes. I turned my back, took 2-3 paces tops, and he burst into tears. And I looked around at him. I said, did you touch it? And he went, yes. So, you know, sometimes, you know, that little burn, him burning his finger on the light bulb, taught him that lesson. I didn't necessarily teach him that lesson. He taught himself. But what I'm saying is a short, sharp shock. You know, I believe it's true. You spare the rod, you spoil the child. It's true.
Well, Maleficus, there's this Christian identity organization that produced the American Institute of Theology identity course, which I got years and years ago. I don't believe I still, I don't know where it is if I've got it. But it was an excellent Bible study. It was well recommended by a lot of people that I was following. And their website is kingidentity.com. And I remember when I was buying stuff from them, because I bought that and a couple of books and stuff like that. And I know I sold most of my stuff anyway, so I don't know if that was among it. But I always remember looking through their website. If you go to kingidentity.com/children, you can buy a rod of correction. It says, our speak softly spanking stick may not be hickory, but it serves the same purpose in teaching children good old-fashioned discipline. Each 21 inch by 1/5/16 of an inch stick is imprinted with scripture verses. And I just had a vision. It's $5.50, by the way. I just had this vision of, you know, these sort of friends of mine, you know, people from work, if they have like a child and stuff, and you get them that as a present. but of course,
It's conjuring images. It's conjuring images of Meatloaf out of the Pick of Destiny film. It really is.
I've never seen that or heard of it, I'm afraid. But
Meatloaf plays Jack Black's father, and wants him to stay clear of rock and roll, and takes his belt to him and all that kind of thing. So yeah, there we go.
Oh, I see. There you go. Absolutely. All right. Okay. So where are we? Here we are. It's time for some of this week's Daily Mail articles that didn't end up behind their Mail Plus paywall. First up, Google fires 28 employees over their involvement in $1.2 billion Israel contract protest inside New York and California offices. Imagine my shock. Next, I tasted Europe's first lab-grown sausage, and I challenged the top Michelin star chefs to be able to tell the difference between the real deal. Wow, no bias there. Next, exclusive. Shocking moment. Police officer threatens to arrest man for breaching the peace simply by being quite openly Jewish near pro-Palestine march in London. Hang on, that doesn't make sense. Next, farce. As Met police apologise for threatening to arrest openly Jewish man caught in pro-Palestine march, then apologise for their apology, as it slammed as victim-blaming for saying that campaigners filming themselves being abused are provocative. Now, I'm going to stop here because this relates to, and I don't, well, I know, we know why they don't mention it in the headline, but we can't get into it. The head of the campaign against anti-Semitism in the UK, Gideon Falter, from what I can gather, wanted to cross the road where there was a pro-Palestine march going on. And the police officer said, look, you know, it could cause a breach of the peace, so I can't let you do it. The upshot of that is, what I've read recently, is there's been calls for the head of the Met to resign and all these different things to go on. But Maleficus, did you try to cross the road when you were the protest?
Oh, yeah. Well, they wouldn't let me cross the road to go and speak to the Antifa lot when it was the protests in Newquay about the migrant hotel. In fact, the police, I have to say, did a bloody good job that day keeping the two factions, if you like, apart. So, to say that it could potentially cause a breach of the peace, you could even say it's incitement for that man to walk across the road in front of all those people. Very brave or very stupid, Andy. One of the two. Or it was done for another purpose. I don't know. Answers on the back of a postcard, folks.
Yeah, yeah. As we always see on this show, you be the judge. Next, S Club are branded tired by cruel trolls as they replicate their 90s dance moves on the Good Times reunion tour. It's like going to an over 55s exercise class. Next, comedian Paul Curry now claims he's not playing Glastonbury and has been cancelled after he hounded Jewish audience member out of theatre in row over Palestine. But festival bosses say they had never actually booked him. Next, woman who tried to cure her cancer with holistic diet drink almost died after she refused chemotherapy, with ex-model 39 now saying you'll need something harder than carrot juice to overcome tumours. Next, exclusive, neo-Nazi who named his son Adolf and said he would kill a mixed-race child, is freed early from jail, even though parole board weren't convinced he has changed his ways. Next, its waiting list for operations is the fourth worst in the country, yet a Stoke hospital found time to hang a banner celebrating 21 genders and sexualities. No wonder patients and nurses are calling it absolute madness. And finally, that'll show 'em, all-girl football team of 11 and 12-year-olds has unbeaten season as they destroy their male opponents, earning Invincibles title. Okay, so that's almost it for me. So, Maleficus, please close out your contribution to today's show with your news roundup of the week. The floor is yours.
Thank you. I've got a few interesting nuggets for you folks here. So, BBC News, Sweden passes law lowering age to change legal gender from 18 to 16. So, there you go. Rather than being an adult, you can be a semi-adult now if you want to choose to change your gender if you live in Sweden. Telegraph here is announcing that there is a crackdown on fentanyl smuggling to prevent UK opioid crisis. Shame they didn't do that with all the ecstasy that was shipped over in the 90s and the MDMA, and again with all the LSD that was shipped over in the 60s. You know, who are these big drug pushers that seem to be have no problem internationally shipping things around. Again, answers on the back of a postcard, folks, and or just write me a mail at maleficus@outlook.com. Okay, so the things I've got here now are from government websites, so UK, so www.gov.uk. So these are all on the UK government website. So UK and US sanction leading Iranian military figures and entities following their attack on Israel. So there we go. We're sanctioning folks overseas for things that are, I'm sure, are nothing to do with our little island here. But there we go. An update on AUKUS export reform progress. The UK warmly welcomes the significant progress made with our partners, the US and Australia, to advance the AUKUS trilateral partnership, working together for a free and open Indo-Pacific and thereby enhancing stability, security and prosperity in the region. What the hell is all this about? You may be asking, what is AUKUS? Well, the UK and US are not only assisting us in Australia in acquiring nuclear power submarines, we are working closely trilaterally to strengthen and improve the interoperability and innovation in areas such as hypersonic and counter-hypersonic capabilities, electronic warfare and quantum technology, artificial intelligence and automation, cyber and additional undersea capabilities. So that makes all of us sleep better in our beds at night, doesn't it? Another one from the UK government website here, UK to boost World Bank funding to help tackle global challenges. Minister Mitchell announces $100 million hybrid capital contribution to help tackle urgent development issues as he is due to attend the World Bank spring meetings. So that's where some of our taxpayers' money is going, at least, Andy. Yeah. So the TRA makes final recommendation to extend steel safeguard measures. In a final recommendation to extend safeguard measures on 15 categories of steel has been submitted to the Secretary of State for Business and Trade. So this is to somehow safeguard Britain's steel industry in some way, shape or form. Who are the Trade Remedies Authority? The Trade Remedies Authority. Where are we here? So the Trade Remedies Authority, essentially, what we do. The Trade Remedies Authority exists to defend the UK against unfair international trade practices. We investigate whether new trade remedies are needed to prevent injury to the UK industries caused by unfair trading practices, make recommendations on appropriate measures to defend UK economic interests. Well, why did we just very recently close down one of the last steel foundries in the UK? Answer me that one. Or where were the Trade Remedies Authority when Amazon rolled out its an entire army of electric vehicles that have now flooded the UK after the COVID shutdowns, etc., etc.? Where were the Trade Remedies Authority then, folks? So this one made me laugh. UK signs a new agreement with Vietnam on illegal migration. How does that work? UK and Vietnam agree to closer cooperation to stop the boats. The boats aren't coming from Vietnam. They're coming from France. They're coming from Europe. So what are they going to do? We're going to make some agreement with the Vietnamese government. Just say, well, can you put out some information to your folks just to make sure that they don't, you know, risk their lives traveling across the English Channel? Really? Did you see the irony in that article, Andy? Just ridiculous. Also, Mail Online article here, subjecting migrants to X-rays and MRI scans to check how old they are is unethical and inaccurate, experts claim. Yet we still have were migrants coming over here and attending secondary schools. and they're well past the age of attending such schools. You know, that we've had various instances of that occurring in the UK. So, but obviously we've got to check for the human rights of these people. We can't just assume, can we, Andy? So we can't subject them to any kind of tests to make sure they are who they say they are or what they say they are. But, you know, I tell you what, this will sum it up for me. This will sum it up for me now on the whole subject. And that is, remember what we said this episode, folks, about gradualism, you know, about drip feeding things. So here you go. Final thing from the government website in the UK this week. E-visa rollout begins with immigration documents replaced by 2025. Millions are being invited to switch from physical immigration documents to an e-visa, a key step in creating a modernized and digital border. We told you it was coming. So, yeah, there you go. Back to you, Andy, and thanks for listening, folks.
Thank you, Maleficus. And one thing I meant to mention earlier, I made a note when you were talking about the vaccine that was stopped, I believe, by Gerald Ford in the 1970s when 50 people had died. This was raised, of all people, by a guy called Sammy the Bull Gravano. Now, have you heard of Sammy the Bull Gravano, Maleficus?
I haven't.
He was John Gotti's underboss. Have you heard of John Gotti?
No.
Oh,
sorry to be ignorant.
He was the last sort of big mafia boss in the 1980s. He was a very flamboyant guy. Both him and Sammy the Bull Gravano conspired to kill the then boss Paul Castellano in probably the most famous mafia hit of all time outside Spark Steakhouse in 1985. Sammy the Bull Gravano cooperated with the government and was therefore, you know, allowed to do virtually very minimal amount of time for the crimes he admitted to, which included 19 murders, of all things. He then was going straight for a while when he got released, but did something else. We don't need to get involved in that. Went to prison for another 17 years, I think, Florence Admax 18 years, which is one of the worst prisons that there is. And he got out a few years ago and he now has a podcast. But he was appearing on a podcast with another former mafia guy called Michael Francesi. And he has a YouTube channel. And if you go to his YouTube channel and in the search within his channel, okay, so you need to make sure you're using that search box, not the one at the top that'll just search all of YouTube, but within his channel, if you type Sammy the Bull Gravano, there's a two-part series. The first one went out on October the 4th, the second part on October the 11th, both of last year, 2023, and they talk about all sorts of stuff, including Sammy Gravano raises this thing about the vaccines and how, you know, he knows people and this wasn't pulled and stuff like that, and in the that it was pulled years ago when only 50 people had had a problem and there's a lot more than that sort of thing. So yeah. I was kind of encouraged by that, to hear someone like that that knows about this stuff now. And they're also talking, you know, these guys are both in their 70s. Their heyday was 1980s New York, when they were both senior mafia figures. And they talk about smartphones and the woke culture and all this different stuff. And if you want real, you know, it's worth a listen, put it that way. A lot of you listening like to listen to something a bit different. And it was sort of quite a fun show. It wasn't a show where they sort of glorify all the crimes that they did. It was more about a couple of old guys, how they're facing the world today and how it compares to when they were younger. So hopefully that was, if Nick's show hadn't come along last week, that would have been my favourite show of last week. I listened to that two or three times, as I did Nick Griffin's show that I mentioned earlier. Okay, any comments before we move on, Maleficus?
Oh, no, that's me done for the week, Andy.
That's good. Excellent. Okay, last item. Daily Mail headline. psychoactive drug made from human bones that has seen addicts digging up graves to get high leads to Sierra Leone declaring a national emergency as zombie narcotics sweeps through West Africa, killing dozens a month. On that bombshell, you have been listening to The Limeys, episode 164, The OK Boomer Divide and Conquer Operation. We Limeys will be back with you next Sunday. Peter is on a speaking tour, so I'll be back with you all on Saturday. And until then, folks, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful week, and bye for now.